Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topics surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
We're going to start with the scripture verse tonight, and it's found in the book of Jude. And Jude was a brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says this, "The servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And so God Almighty tells us that we should contend for it. We should stand up for it. We should stick up for it. And that is why we have this program. And there's many agendas today in Christianity that people have, and as they come down the pike, they're promoting many different things. But the person of Jesus Christ and the word of Jesus Christ has to be the most fundamental thing there is. And I was just thinking, as this program was getting ready to come on, we were listening to Adrian Rogers, and he made a statement that somebody told him, said, if you stand up for the Bible, you're going to split the convention. Well, he was president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And he said, then let it be split. And in other words, to Adrian Rogers, the most important thing was the Word of God. And he used and preached from the King James, as you can hear if you listen to him. And so the agenda of standing up for Christ in the Word of God has got to be the most important thing possible. And in this program, we're defending the subject, and we're talking about where is God's Word. You have over 220 translations put out in the English since 1611, and they don't agree anymore. You can pick a translation say that will say almost anything that you want it to say. But I want to ask you today to listen to this. And some people say, well, you're making a mountain out of a molehill, or you're picking on something that is not essential. But the words of God are absolutely essential. And so I hope and pray today that you listen to some of the things that we're saying and check them out. The Bible says they that were at Berea were more noble than those at Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures to see if these things are true. Now, recently, in a book that I have read in the Barna Report, and Barna is a Christian as far as I know, and he is a pollster, and I believe that he's an honest person. He said something that I found rather amazing, because today they say that the New International Version is the number one selling Bible. But, of course, they don't talk about the churches that are printing the King James Version. But in his poll, he stated that people were reading the King James Bible on a ratio of 6-1 for everyone that read the NIV. Six people were reading it on a regular King James on a regular basis. And back in 1881, when Westcott and Hort put out their false text, there is a great debate between 1881 and 1900 over Bible versions. And at that time, there was a historian named Vedder, and Vedder said that although the King James wasn't as accurate, and I disagree with that statement, he said, you will never get Christian people to quit reading it. And here we are 107 years later, and still they're reading it. Now, this might be a strange thing. I mean, this is a translation that came out in 1611. How come this one translation goes on, and the other translations come and go, about 200 of them? Now, there are some reasons for this, and they're found in the Word of God. And the first one is, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, will guide you into all truth. And in John chapter 16 and verse 13, it says this, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He tells the truth. He will guide you into all truth. Now, it's not partial truth, that he guides us into. It's not you have a couple verses that are right, a couple words that are right, then you have some that are wrong, and so on. But it says he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit is going to guide us into all truth. Now, some individuals say, well, we're reverent biblicists with unquestioned loyalty to the originals. I never read a scripture verse like that in the Bible. Of course, the originals, we believe, were given by God. But God said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so somewhere we ought to believe we have it. And the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Now, in John chapter 14, verse 16, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now, the Holy Spirit is God's comforter. He is the Spirit of truth, and he will abide with us forever. When somebody is born again, the Holy Spirit will guide them into all truth. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So he will always be there. Now, down through the ages, people have been making false translations of the Bible and have been putting out corrupt scriptures. And yet we see as we study history that the Christians are gravitating to a certain text. And this is the born-again Christians that love the Lord, that pray and read their Bible on a regular basis. They gravitate to a certain Bible, a certain text. And what is the reason for that? The reason is that they have the Holy Spirit in them, and he will guide you into all truth. He will lead them to the true word of God. And although we have conflicting Bibles, eventually they will come to the right one. Now, I have seen this happen in my case when I was just getting out of college. They said, well, the King James was good for its day, but the New American Standard Version is recommended by many evangelical leaders, and it's an update to King James. And so I was going to use it. I knew nothing about manuscript evidence at the time, but it just did not seem like the Word of God to me. And so I went back to the King James. And since this time, time after time, I've talked to people that are in prayer and reading the Bible constantly, and God moves them to the authorized King James Bible. And that text behind the King James Bible is a text that goes right back to Christ and the apostles. And we can demonstrate that through the ages. And so the Holy Spirit will guide us. And this is the final reason. It's not what some educated individual says about the text. It's what the body of believers, which are led by the Holy Spirit of God, move to. And so if God gave us the Holy Spirit, he is going to guide us and lead us. And you say, what about the preachers that are using other translations? And we will talk about that in a little bit. Now, people say, well, I heard one fellow, he said, I believe in going by the Greek text. And he had studied Greek for about 4 years. I said, well, what Greek text are you talking about? And that was the end of the conversation. And there's a lot of Greek text, a lot of corrupt text out there, and I believe Nestle's is a very corrupt text. It's based on a handful of manuscripts. But I want to talk just for a few minutes here about some of the papyri. They say, well, we found a lot more Greek manuscripts since the time of the King James Bible. Now, the papyrus fragments, most of them are in the 2nd and 3rd century. These are Greek manuscripts or partial manuscripts coming from Egypt. And Egypt was where the Gnostics were, and every Gnostic that got their hands on the scripture, they corrupted it. And so their corruptions all disagree with one another. They found papyrus fragments, there's about 81, is about 1998, and that they have found. 13 of them have the corrupt texts, and that's the manuscripts that disagree with one another. But the Textus Receptus, which the King James is based on, is 75 manuscripts. So 13 for the corrupt text, 75 for the proper text. And so that is 15% to 85%. Now they found what is called uncials. And these are capital, these are Greek portions of the Bible in capital Greek letters. They're called uncials. There's 267 of them that they found. and 9 of them support the corrupt text, but 258 support the received text. The 9, of course, disagree with each other constantly, as well as disagreeing with the true text. That is 3% to 97%. 97% of the Uncials back up the King James. Now you have what is called the cursive manuscripts. These are like you would write cursive. And they found 2,764 of these. 23 of them back up the corrupt text. 2,741 of these back up the Greek text behind the King James. That's 1% to 99%. And the 1% is what the basis of the modern versions of the Bible that throw out the names of the Lord Jesus 100 times. Now you have the lectionaries, and these are readings in the Greek Orthodox Church. They found 2,143 of them. They haven't checked them all. But of all the ones that they have checked, all of them have the received text, the text behind the King James Bible. So 2,143 of them to 0 back up the King James. So the percentage is 0 to 100%. And they go, Kurt Eland says in his book that it goes back to the year 100, these Uncials that they have. Some of them were copied right around 100. And so the evidence is so overwhelmingly backing the received text. 45 of them support the corrupt text, that is, the manuscripts that disagree with one another. 5,210 would support the King James. That's 1% of the corrupt text to 99%. And you say, why are we talking about? Well, there's about 45,000 changes in your Bibles. And they have Bibles that teach about anything. You know, the New International Version, I understand that in England, they have made it so that it is gender neutral. The communists don't recognize gender. They think that men and women are exactly the same, I guess. And so they are pushing this gender-neutral Bible, but God didn't write it that way. So we want the Word of God. We want something that is true. And Jesus promised us, the God of this universe, that keep those stars moving within a fraction of a second, he promised us to give us a true Word of God. I'd like to also mention about the Old Testament, and we've talked about this before, but we follow the Masoretic text, the Bamberg or Ben Haim editions of the Scripture. Now, recently, the Old Testament has been changed and corrupted by individuals like Kittle, and there's about 15 changes in every page of the Old Testament between the King James and the modern ones, where many times unsaved people have just messed with the text. And the Ben Asher text, of course, is corrupt. And God said to the Jewish people, and by the way, God is dealing with the Jewish people and bringing them back to the land. In Isaiah 59, 20, 21, this is my covenant with Jacob. The words that I speak unto thee shall not depart out of thy mouth, or out of the mouth of thy seed, or out of the mouth of thy seed from this generation forever. And God didn't give up on the Jews despite what people say. The Bible is very clear on this. And God said the Jewish people would always have the very words of God. And so even in the New Testament, it was written by Jews, and the oracles of God are given through the Jews. And I'm saying this because that's what the Bible said, and we're only interested in what God said, not what man has said. Now, in dealing with this subject, and once again, I'll give you the number if you'd like to say something, you got the courage to come on. It's the local number is 901-0933. And the distant number is 888-677-9673. But I want to talk about here the Laodicean church. It's found in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, the Laodicean church. And it says this, in it deals with the subject of Bible preservation. And unto the church of the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, the Laodicean church, it means the rule of the people. And everybody's invited to pick their own Bible, whatever agrees with their idea and their philosophy. But the church is built on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the head of it. And it seems like less and less all the time we hear about the lordship of Jesus Christ. Do you know that in the Gospel of John, his name as the Lord is mentioned over 40 times? In the book of Romans, it's mentioned over 40 times. And the apostles, if they ever referred to Jesus, they would call him the Lord. That means he is the authority. It's not what man says. It's not what the newspaper said, the seminary professor, the educated individual, or what we think. It's what Jesus Christ, who is Lord, is. Now, he's saying this to the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says he is the Amen. That is, when Jesus says something, that is the authority. Amen means let it be. That is true. That is right. He is the Amen. When he says it, that settles it. And any religion where Jesus Christ, who is our creator of the universe, where he hasn't said it, it doesn't matter. It's not my opinion. It's not your opinion. It's the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Amen, the final authority. Then it says here, he is the faithful and true witness. He is the faithful and true witness. And what does that mean? He is faithful. He is faithful as a witness. He gave us his word, and he is faithful in keeping his word. You know, there's two attitudes towards the Bible. One is, it's like a muddy river that's flowing downstream and picks up silt as it goes, and you go to your favorite preacher, college professor, and he puts in his strainer, and he strains out the garbage, and then he tells you what the true words are. Another way to look at it, and this is the biblical way, it's like water running down a mountain stream, although somebody puts the corruption in it, it purifies itself as it goes down the stream. And the Holy Spirit is the one that will purify it. So he, the Lord Jesus, he's faithful and he's true. He's a true witness, so that when we read our Bible, we can believe that it is true. Now, the next one is the beginning of the creation of God. I was reading some commentaries on this, and man, they just had pages and pages of trying to explain this. But it's very simple when it says he's the beginning of the creation of God. He's the firstborn of all creation, referring to his resurrection. In Colossians 1, it says the firstborn from the dead, and then it says the firstborn of all creation. When Jesus bodily rose from the dead, he's the firstborn of God's new creation. And all of us are going to follow that resurrection of Jesus Christ, that are born again and saved and get a new body. Now, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou art cold or hot. You know, when somebody's constantly correcting the Bible or reading from a false one, it doesn't heat them up. It doesn't excite them or interest them. But they got to be reading the Word of God. And if you want to get interested and excited and stay interested and excited, you know, the Bible says, in the first psalm, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You don't have to get old and lose interest in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can get old and be just as fired up when you're at 80 as when you are in 20. And I've seen adults that are 80 years old that are as excited and enthused about Christ as more than teenagers. Why? Because they're reading the Word of God, and that will excite you and enthuse you if you read it, see? So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. Now, he doesn't spew the individual out, he spews the church out. And do you know, Christ, how does he dwell in our hearts? In the book of John chapter 15, it says, if ye abide in me and I abide in you. And the Bible uses parallelisms. And down a few verses in John 15, instead of saying I abide in you, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Jesus Christ abides in us through his words. And so if we get rid of his words, then we have a corrupt Bible, and he is not abiding in us the way the scripture says he should. Now, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And I think of this, I'm glad for large churches, and I'm glad where they're preaching the gospel, and I rejoice in this. But, boy, it says today, sometimes churches are spending millions, tens of millions of dollars on buildings and auditoriums. And I think, man, some of these churches could send a Bible with that kind of money to every single home in Mexico or some other country, you know. And They're boasting, though, that they're wealthy and need nothing. Well, somebody says, well, how would a church go on, you know, without Jesus Christ? A lot of them could continue to go on without him. They wouldn't notice he's missing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And so there's spiritual poverty there, because people aren't reading the Word of God. If you want to be spiritually strong, you got to read the Word of God. And they're spiritually blind. And today, many educated pastors, they don't realize they're even using a corrupt Bible. And if you tell them, they won't even investigate. Somebody says, contempt before investigation produces everlasting ignorance. And some people that have heard about people taking a stand on a Word of God, the King James Bible, they're contemptuous of it, so they won't even investigate or read a book and find out. Well, the Bible says we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we better have the right book. Is it the King James that has the names of Jesus in 100 places, or the modern versions that take him out? See? And so this church was blind, and says, and naked. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And 1 Peter says the gold is our faith in Jesus Christ. And it ought to be a faith that is correct and proper and true. That thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. You know, I talk to people, it's very scary. But they, even in fundamental churches, they seem like they have never got it, that to get to heaven, their righteousness is not their righteousness. It is the righteousness of Christ. If you attempt to get to heaven in your own righteousness, you'll never make it. The Bible says that it's the righteousness of Christ. The Bible says it's the Lord, our righteousness. And that is counted to us. Our sins are counted to Christ. He paid for them on the cross. His blood takes them away. And his righteousness is counted to us through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See? So he says, anoint thine eyes with eyesalve that thou mightest see. You better know what you're talking about. You better check it out. And the Bible says, don't be many teachers. You better be careful if you're going to teach the Word of God, because you're standing before God, and you better be telling the truth. So anyway, we have the Word of God. And so this church is not in the position that God wants it to be, but Jesus is to be our Lord. Now, I'm going to say in a few minutes, we're going to talk about why preachers use other versions. The first thing is tradition. They were taught something in school. Usually they were older preachers were saved by the King James. They go to school and teach. It's not the correct text. And so they believe what they have been taught without investigation as practically children. And they continue to teach it and think that they know something other people don't know. Okay, then a second reason is, Jesus says, you make the Word of God of no effect because of your traditions. Then another reason is friends. Jesus says, you love the honor that comes from one another. Therefore, you cannot hear my words. And the people they're hanging around with are contemptuous of people that believe that they have a Bible today. And so they would, because they have those friends, Jesus says it's impossible for them emotionally, in other words, to hear the words of Jesus Christ. His words are, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Another reason is, how can you have a great audience and people following you and then admit that you've been wrong on something? And people don't want to do that. Pride. The Bible says, if any man consent not to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is proud, knowing nothing. And yet in all the modern versions it says that Jesus' father is Joseph in Luke 2:33, and yet in that very chapter Jesus corrects Mary for saying the same thing. Mary says, your father and I have sought you sorrowfully. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 2, I must be about my father's business. And so he corrects Mary. And so when you use a version like that that says Joseph is Jesus' father, you're going against Christ himself. So the Bible says, if any man consent not to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is proud, knowing nothing. You know, some people say, well, boy, this person is so educated. And they use, the Bible talks about people using great swelling words of man's wisdom. That using, if they're going to tell a lie, they're going to use some words you don't understand, and you may not even understand what they're saying. But since they use these great words, you think that they know what they're talking about. And the Lord didn't use these type of words. He just used common words. So did the apostles. And so today, God has given us his words. The universal language today is English. And if we don't have it in the English, where is it? See? God has given us his words. And thank God for it. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.